For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
Welcome you to the first official episode of season two of this legal light of mine, this legal light of mine, where I genuinely believe that I have been commissioned to let y'all into my business. And the thing is, it has purpose. I really believe that this is what God is calling me to do in this season. And so I'm looking forward to being obedient. And I know that some folks are going to just listen or watch because they're nosy. And that's perfectly okay with me, because for the ones that hear what I am urged to share and their lives are impacted for the better, it's all worth it. So like my childhood pastor, Pastor Gordon, used to say, confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation, and it's about to be good for my soul and hopefully good for some other folks' soul too. And for the handful of folks that might walk away talking about it, oh well. But before we get started, this episode is being brought to you again by WCM Digital LLC. Last week on the season teaser, I gave the wrong website address, so I wanted to correct that. It is www.wcmdigitalllc.com. So make sure that you add the LLC onto that address.com and go check them out. Book a shoot or a video shoot or photo shoot or what have you. Or at a very minimum, go to the website on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook, and like and follow and just support this young man who is dear to my heart, Black owned business, and his work is excellent. So I know I could be biased, but I'm really not. You go check it out for yourself and try to support. So today I want to dive into one of the more painful areas of my life. And I recognize that this is common to probably all of us in some way or another, and that is failure. Yes, failure. And I know we know that we endure it, we face it and all of that, but very rarely do we want to talk about it. And today I'm going to talk about it. But before we do, I found a video that I want to share with you, or audio, I guess, that I want to share with you. So let's play a little clip.
You know, it's always a little bit frustrating to me when people have a negative relationship with failure. Failure is a massive part of being able to be successful. You have to get comfortable with failure. You have to actually seek failure. Failure is where all of the lessons are. You know, when you go to the gym and you work out, you're actually seeking failure. You want to take your muscles to the point where you get to failure, because that's where the adaptation is. That's where growth is. Successful people fail a lot. They fail a whole lot more than they succeed, but they extract the lessons from the failure, and they use that, the energy, and they use the wisdom to come around to the next phase of success. You gotta take a shot. You have to live at the edge of your capabilities. You gotta live where you're almost certain you're going to fail. That's the reason for practice. Practice is controlled failure. You're getting to your limit, getting to your limit, getting to your limit. You can't lift that. You can't do that. Until you get to the point that all of a sudden your body makes the adjustment, and then you can do it. Failure actually helps you to recognize the areas where you need to evolve. So fail early, fail often, fail forward.
Wow. So I listened to that. That was Will Smith. I listened to that several times because, you know, yeah, you come across these clips online and all that, and they are to give you momentary motivation, but it was resonating with me so deeply because of my encounters with failure. And just recognizing several things about the benefit of failing and also the benefit of being unafraid of failure. So I wanted to talk about a topic that I literally have not talked about. I certainly haven't talked about in a way that is public or a publication of any sort. And that is my battle with the bar exam. So I graduated in 2011 from law school, but let me back up a little bit. I went to law school several years after having graduated undergrad. At the time when I graduated, I was a single at that divorced mother of four young children, and I graduated from college kind of as I felt like that was the peak for me in some way, because it was so hard. It was not easy. And so I wanted to take a break. I didn't anticipate going back to school. But God had it go another way. And so within, I guess about 3 years after graduating from college, I went to real estate school and I began to ruminate over this idea of going to law school. And thankfully, I had a father who always spoke life into me, always was encouraging. And when I told him I was thinking about, you know, law school, his immediate response was, yes, why not? Time is going to pass no matter what. Why not let the time pass with you pursuing something worthwhile? And so that's what I did. You know, I went through all the steps. I took the tests I needed to take. I applied to schools and I got into a few schools. The school that I chose to go to initially was Seton Hall Law School in Newark. I was living in Burlington County, New Jersey, which if you don't know, is about a 2-hour commute. But the program was so, I thought, beneficial. And I chose that school, and that school also chose me. they also gave me scholarship money that motivated me to go. So my first year of law school was trying, but I learned by the end of it that I could do it. However, I was so far away from where I was living, where my children were, and I wanted to cut my commute down. So I transferred to my alma mater from college to Rutgers Law School in Camden, which turned out to be just the best thing ever. And I'm giving that information because kind of to lay a foundation of how successful I was or felt that I was through the process of law school. And yes, you know, I was still a single mom, working sometimes at night at the hospital, also going to school and, you know, doing kind of trying to balance life and everything. And yet I did fairly well. I received scholarships. I was a Marshall Brennan Fellow who, you know, you go into the schools in the inner city and you teach about constitutional law. I had the great honor of traveling to South Africa as a part of my constitutional law studies. It was a good and fulfilling experience. And I left law school. Also, upon graduating, I was given an award for overcoming so many obstacles in obtaining the JD. So it was just a great kind of feeling to have overcome and made it through and to actually graduate with my JD. And I took my children across the stage with me at graduation. They were still fairly little. I think the oldest maybe was 12. And so I remember after the fact that I heard that some of my peers were snickering or commenting about me walking across the stage with my four children. But I remember it, but it really was of no consequence because even graduating was such, it was such a triumph. It was so much that I had to kind of overcome to get to that point. And so once I got out, I was ready to go. I thought I was ready. You know, I paid for the courses. I studied with my peers, some who I didn't necessarily think were even kind of at the level that I was, but we studied together and I did the courses I was supposed to do. I really tried to be the student I was supposed to be. And I thought that I knew and understood the concepts as well as anyone else. And then I took the exam. When you take the bar exam, you have to wait 2 to 3 months to find out if you have passed. And let me tell you the devastation of getting the news. First of all, when you go in to check, you check online and you go to see your number, whether your number is successful or not, or whether it's posted on the website. And I went and I saw that I had failed, that I had not passed. And my instant, there were so many swirling emotions all at once. And the two of the strongest feelings were that I was going to have to let my family know and therefore let them down. And that brought shame, and that brought a sense of such deep embarrassment. And I began to feel like I wasn't even valuable to my father, and to my brother, to my friends, to the people who had cheered me on and who had walked with me. And then the other feeling was that I had to have a reason. I had to make sense of what happened. And so I bargained with myself a lot, and I didn't want to just settle in and accept the fact that I had not met the bar. I didn't do what I needed to do. And so I was trying to make sense. I said, oh, well, it was only this certain number of points or what have you. I tried to negotiate away and out of what had just happened. And it really didn't sink in right away. It took some time. The other thing, though, was that I knew I couldn't live there. I had to do something else, right? So I actually wrote down three things that came to my mind as a result of my first failure. So I'm saying my first because this was something that happened more than once, and I'll come back to it. So three things. First, pivot or die, literally. I know it sounds like a little dramatic, but that was literally what I had to do. I couldn't practice law. I couldn't, just go and keep going in the direction that I thought that I was going to be going. I had to deal with the fact that my course that I had laid for myself was not the course that was about to be right then at that moment. So I had to decide, what else can I do? What else should I do? And I say or die because I also dealt with the shame was so heavy. The shame was so grievous that I even had suicidal ideations. And I felt like it's not even worth living because I'm so ashamed, because I am such a failure. That's what I had taken in. And my community, my peers, and those who were in the legal field, essentially, when you don't pass, you are not a part of the community anymore. And people will try to say, oh, well, you have the degree and nobody can take that from you. But it doesn't have the same value as being able to say, I am a member of the state bar or a state bar, or I have been admitted and I therefore have value. And I found that I needed to redefine my value. So my point number two is my value isn't what I achieve or I earn. I had to be taught that through this failing, through this recognizing that even though people might say or may not see my value, that I had an intrinsic value that didn't come from the bar exam or my law degree, that it was a God-given value inside of me, no matter the outcome, no matter the outcome. And then number three, failing doesn't make you a failure. Quitting does. That was significant, right? Because initially I really did feel that. I really had owned that I was also a failure, that I failed and I was also a failure, and that everything that God had promised to me was a lie. It felt like, why would you open the door for law school against all odds? Why would you give me favor through the process and connect me to people who I felt would be beneficial to close the door? I had a hard time making sense of it, but I recognize now, all of these years later, how much purpose. So let me just share that after failing the first time, I may have tried two or three more times and literally have lost count because it was such a discouraging time in my life. It was a 5-year period of time from the time that I first failed to the time that I passed the bar exam. Now, if 5 years doesn't crush you and make you quit, then you need to pass. Because I was at a point where, honestly, I was at a point at that fifth year where I had decided, God, maybe you're telling me this is not the road for me and you have something else. And I'm willing to surrender those dreams and those hopes and aspirations. And you tell me what to do and I'll just do it. That's where I was. I will say, those years, though, were incredibly productive, because in the year that I initially failed, when I decided to pivot, I decided to work with my church to establish a nonprofit organization, which they were wanting to do. And I had the time and I had a little bit of legal education, enough that I believe that I can help this process. And what God taught me, and I was just thinking about this, and I was like, Lord, wow, you were really preparing me and teaching me through this failure. So I took this idea from my pastor, New Vision Community Development Corporation, from incorporation, which means I, you know, did all of the documents and did the nonprofit, the IRS documents, all of that, the 501c3 documents. I did all of that, got all of that established. And then we got up the nonprofit organization and we ran a summer camp. We started that first year with a pilot program, and then it ran for 7 years after that. Even 2 years into my practice, I was running a summer camp. And through that process, I learned how to run a business. I learned how to run payroll. I didn't realize what God was doing, but He didn't want me to run out of law school and go work for someone or go, kind of make my own path, because He had a path for me. But it started with me choosing to live and pivoting after that failure. So I ran New Vision CDC. It gave me another level of courage. It encouraged my heart, and it helped me to know that I still added value. I still meant something. And seeing those children and those families return year after year after year, it breathed new life into me. And it made me know that if I were to ever be an attorney, that would be great, but that is not all. That's not even the tip of the iceberg of what God has or would have for me. So then after that, I also met my husband, and I was at a place again where I was battling with my sense of value, and he came into my life at a place where I wasn't quite sure. And the Lord used him to remind me that, that I was worthwhile and that someone could love me. I had been told all sorts of things. I remember someone saying to me, "Oh, you look good on paper. But the real deal, you know, you're a single mom and you have all these kids, like who's going to even want you?" And God showed me His hand of grace and mercy and love in that broken place, in the place of waiting, in the place that some would say was the place of failure. And in fact, it was the springing board for what God had for my life. And so, like, I'm just overwhelmed. So, you know, I know I'm like kind of ruminating, because this is my first time sharing something so deep that that has so much pain attached to it. And I've had to, over these years, not feel like an imposter and to recognize that I am exactly who God says that I am, and that He allowed failure into my life, but that He calls me the head and not the tail. And I promised God right before I passed the bar exam in 2016, I said, "God, if you say yes this time, I'm taking off, I'm running." And I did just that. The minute I got that yes, in fact, I was sitting in a cubicle somewhere and I would cry every day. I would cry every day in my cubicle. And the results came out a month early, and I got a notification on my phone, and I went to the email and I checked it, and I saw that I passed, and I packed up my stuff and I left. And I got home and I did exactly what I told God I would do before I had even been admitted to the bar. I started getting those incorporation papers together. I said, God, I told you if you said yes, I would say yes too. And that's what I did. And here I am 4 years later, still running Bettner Gray Law Office, going into my fifth year, and the hand of the Lord has been upon me. And I didn't need the many people who looked down their nose at me, those who didn't support me. I didn't need them to sign off on me, on my value, on my validation. And God began to send clients from the north and the south and the east and the west. Literally, I was like, who are these people? Where are they coming from? I couldn't keep up. I thought I would just be working from home with my laptop and I would just do it myself. And the phone just kept ringing and ringing and ringing until I had to hire. And then I had to hire again and I had to hire again. And he showed me that I felt like, oh my God, I'm so far behind. I have to catch up to people who were already younger than me, that I didn't have to, that I wasn't on the same pace, that he had a pace for me that involved him stopping me so he could teach me and so he could build character in me. He had purpose in allowing failure. And as a result, I also am not afraid to fail. I'm willing to try. Why not step out there on faith? Kind of like what Will Smith says, right? He's saying, you know, being at the edge of failure is the springing board. That's the beginning of the next step in your life. Sometimes we're so afraid to fail. We're so afraid of people's opinions or what are they going to say? How am I going to look on camera? Am I going to sound dumb? Am I going to stumble over my words? So what? God is calling us higher. And we can't let fear grip us so much, fear of failing, that we don't even try. And here's the thing, you know, children, they're not afraid of failing. You know, they want to learn how to ride a bike. They get on the bike and they fall and they get right back up and get on the bike again. We have to have that childlike desire and ambition to overcome, to use the times that we fall down and we skin our knee, the times that we feel like we've, you know, messed up and we've embarrassed ourselves, and be transparent because we're not the only ones, and be better and grow from it. So I think that's all I want to share today. What I will say is that this whole season, I'm going to be going to places that I don't normally go to because I believe that God is going to do a work in me and in you as a result. So I'm going to leave you with a little bit of homework. Over the next week, I want to encourage you to get your journal, or if you're like me, you have your iPhone or whatever device you use, you can write in your notes and jot down, what have you gained or what lesson have you learned from failure? And if you're not too shy, you can even put them in the comments on the Facebook page, This Legal Light of Mine. So I just want to thank you so much for listening. Let's pray. God, you are just so good and you are worthy to be praised. And we just want to say thank you for how you have allowed things to come into our life to make us better, to refine us, to teach us, to show us that our value isn't in what people say, but in what you have said about us. Before we were even formed in our mother's womb, you have spoken over us. You have said that we are the head and not the tail. We are yours. We are royalty. We are a chosen priesthood, and help us to live up to what you have called us to be. We thank you so much for this time that we've gotten to sit together, and I've been able to share and be transparent about a place that has hurt for so long. But you have brought victory. You have brought triumph. And for that, we are so grateful. And so now we end this episode giving you all of the glory and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. Thank you for listening.